Now, yesterday, the Prime Minister, Theresa May, suffered three Brexit defeats in the Commons as she set out to sell her EU deal to sceptical MPs. Let's get the latest with our political editor, Mark Devenport. Good morning to you, Mark.
Morning, Vinay.
And what might maybe have been an even more significant defeat, MPs also back calls for the Commons to have a direct say on what happens if the PM's deal is rejected next week.
Yes, and that is significant because up until now we thought that if they rejected it, that the government would then have 21 days to come back with an alternative plan. But the government would still be in the driving seat to the extent that they'd be saying to MPs, you can take this or leave it. And obviously the pressure would be on of falling off the cliff at the end of March, going out of the EU without any kind of a deal. Now, Dominic Grieve's amendment has instead, I think, to some extent, put up the possibility, at least, of Parliament being in the driving seat, that they'll be able to amend this to say, we don't like what you've come back with. We prefer this Norway-style model, which would keep the UK within the single market and the customs union, albeit it wouldn't end the free movement of labour, but we think that that's maybe a better way forward. Or they might even say, we think that another referendum would be the best way to go down. So it's opened up various possibilities.
It was an incredible day by anyone's standards yesterday, Mark. Theresa May was humiliated, you could say, three times. The government found to be in contempt. The Attorney General, Geoffrey Cox, nearly in tears. You've been at this for a couple of years, so even by your standards, this must be pretty high up.
It was pretty extraordinary. I see it's being compared to events 40 years ago when the former Labour Prime Minister Jim Callaghan lost three votes in a row like this. They normally say three strikes and you're out, but Theresa May is still standing there. She is going to carry on because I think she feels that there's nothing else that she can do on towards Tuesday. But it's obviously a bad omen for her that if she loses on these fundamental matters like Parliament declaring her government ministers to be in contempt of Parliament, it's a bad omen for what might happen on Tuesday. Although it's such a ferment at the moment that there is a school of thought at Westminster that the fact that Dominic Grieve's amendment has passed and some Brexiteers might suddenly see the prospect of Brexit being lost altogether may possibly limit the number of rebels that she'll face within the Tory ranks. But it's still looking pretty much an uphill struggle for her.
And so does that make a no deal less likely?
If Brexiteers see no Brexit as being looming up, they may possibly start hovering back towards Theresa May's deal or some kind of variant on it. So might limit that. But I think
that would be, sorry, just so I have this right, so that they can get some kind of Brexit.
Yeah, because you've got the likes of Michael Gove. I think he was doorstep when he was coming out of his house today in London saying, you know, that there's a real prospect of losing Brexit altogether. So they'll be putting the thumbscrews on some of those who've been sort of almost in alliance with Remainers at the moment in attacking Theresa May's deal, saying you're about to lose the prize by insisting on your perfect Brexit. So there may be a wee bit of movement, but I think that the maths fundamentally still not looking very good for Theresa May's deal.
So let's talk about the many possible scenarios. This is when we should call you Mystic Mark.
No, absolutely,
If the majority don't want Theresa May's deal and the majority don't want a no deal, and March is a matter of months away, what could possibly happen?
Well, there are various permutations, but it's not clear that there's a majority for any option within Parliament. So the kind of things that are being talked about, a number of formerly pro-Remain Tories are quite drawn towards what they call a Norway plus model. And essentially what Norway does is it pays money to the EU to remain within the EU's customs union and within its single market. And if all of the UK did that will probably sort out the border problem.
And would that lead to a renegotiation with the EU?
Well, it would have to some extent because at the moment they've got that relationship with Norway, but Norway is a much smaller economy than the UK and they might not, you know, simply extend it. They have some EU officials have said previously within the course of this negotiations that kind of deal might be on offer, but obviously it's not the deal they negotiated with Theresa May. So whether they do it quickly or whether they would require more time to consider that option is still unclear. But it's certainly something that is being canvassed. The big problem from the Brexiteer point of view with that is that the UK as a whole would stay in the EU single market, and that involves all the various, the so-called four freedoms, one of which is freedom of movement of labour. And Theresa May says look, that was one of the moving concerns that led to the Brexit vote in the first place, the whole business of some people, particularly in England, being concerned about other people coming from parts of the EU and competing for jobs. And so she says that wouldn't actually, if you like, deliver on the Brexit referendum result. So that's the problem with that one. Some other Remainers would say, look, rather than mess around with this Norway option, the whole thing's so up in the air, we should just have a whole new referendum. But the problem is that the clock is ticking in relation to that, and it almost certainly would require either a delay or a revocation of Article 50, which is the notice that the UK gave the EU to leave, and that's the reason why we're leaving at the end of March.
It doesn't sound like the preferred option for someone like Nelson McCausland, for example, or indeed the DUP.
Yes, and it was notable, actually, that whilst the DUP did join the rebellion against the government in relation to holding the government in contempt of court and wanting to see this legal advice, which we now know will be released at 11:30. They did not join Dominic Grieve, I think, in that last vote. So they weren't on side for that, maybe because they were concerned. Perhaps, you know, there's a range of opinions within the DUP, but I think they would probably rather do their deals with the government on the other side of this other than Parliament, because it becomes quite amorphous and they obviously wouldn't hold the same kind of balance of power if Parliament was breaking into all sorts of different little cross-party blocks.
OK, Mystic Mark, thank you very much for your time, and no doubt we will speak again. I mentioned Nelson McCausland there because he is on the line. Good morning to you, Nelson.
Good morning.
And also Brendan Mulgrew, former special advisor. Good morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Vinny. Good morning, Nelson.
And Nelson, we'll start with you. Out at all costs looks very unlikely now.
Sorry, I missed that, Vinny.
Out at all costs looks very unlikely.
I think to say that anything is unlikely in the current situation at Westminster is probably unwise, because...
You may be right, Nelson.
Anything is possible. I think that... looking at the situation today and comparing it with where we were yesterday, there are things that have happened that were totally unexpected, and particularly the Dominic Grieve amendment. But the important thing is, I think, from the perspective of many people, certainly unionists in Northern Ireland, is that at 11:30, hopefully this morning, we will be able to see the full text of the advice that was given to the government by the
Okay, so let's get into the specifics, sorry Nelson, of the Grieve Amendment. Is that something that you welcome?
Well, obviously there you put yourself into a very, very convoluted situation, a very complex one, and as was said by Mark there, who knows what would happen when you get into that situation where all the different factions there in Parliament will be putting in and competing with each other. We seem to be moving to ever greater chaos at Westminster.
Brendan Mulgrew...
And the amendment by Dominic Grieve.
Yeah, let's bring Brendan in at this point. So, ever-growing chaos, you heard what Nelson said.
Yeah, and we all know the old saying that a week is a long time in politics. Well, yesterday it seemed like an hour was a very long time in UK politics, and such a dramatic day in the House of Commons. And on any other day, the fact that the government suffered a defeat on the content issue and the publication of the legal advice, we'd be talking about that for weeks. But the Dominic Grieve amendment and all of the implications of that came along very shortly after that. And I think that's the most significant thing that happened yesterday. I think that the potential for a no-deal Brexit has failed. I think that also, you know, I think Theresa May's own deal as it currently stands, I think what happened yesterday almost symbolically killed that deal. But importantly, I think that yesterday brought us a step closer to a second referendum, because there is no majority in the House of Commons for a no-deal Brexit, and there's now a mechanism because of the Dominic Grieve announcement, a Dominic Grieve amendment, to make sure that a no-deal Brexit isn't on the card. So that narrows down the options from 3-1. Theresa May has spent the last 10 days or 14 days telling us it was her deal or a no-deal Brexit. Well, I think a no-deal Brexit is off the agenda now because of the Grieve amendment. So Nelson's dead, right? Very hard to predict. Anyone who says they know what's going to happen is simply bluffing. None of us know what's going to happen.
What do you hope happens next, Brendan?
Well, I personally, my first option, my preferred option would be a second referendum.
A further referendum. There you go, Nelson.
I think the whole issue is far too up in the air. It has moved on so enormously from what people thought they were voting for, what they were told they were voting for in June 16. The landscape has changed totally. And I do think we need to go back to the people and say, is this really what you want? And who should be afraid of that? Who should be afraid of democracy?
Well, Nelson, would you take Theresa May's deal instead of a further referendum?
Well, Theresa May's deal is unacceptable, I think, to virtually all unionists in Northern Ireland, in that it creates a difficulty for Northern Ireland. We're almost being sacrificed in that deal because you have this internal regulatory border within the United Kingdom. And it's unfortunate that right at the beginning, the government did not take on this issue. They allowed Brussels, they allowed Dublin, they allowed others to weaponize the border in order to put pressure on the UK government. Once they had conceded that and given up that position, I think they were in difficulty all the way along, and we're seeing the outworking of that. I'm glad on one point there, I'm glad Brendan referred to his proposal, or the suggestion rather, that there might be a second referendum, because for so long we've heard now people dressing this up as the people's vote. We had a people's vote. We've had a referendum. But suppose, on the other hand, there is precedent here, because the pattern over the years with the EU has been, if a country has a referendum and you don't get the result that you like, you then have another referendum and you keep on until you get the outcome that has been predetermined. And this is the difficulty. This would be deeply damaging to faith in democracy. We were told in the referendum that we would be leaving the EU. If we voted to leave, we would leave. It was a commitment. There were no conditions, no hedging about. That was it. And on that basis, the referendum took place to try and undo, to try and subvert the decision of the people of the United Kingdom in that referendum by having another referendum. Because I think it's damaging to trust democracy, because people would say, well, sure, if we lose this one, we'll have another one after that. And again, we've seen division within the UK, real passion, certainly, but certainly division over the first referendum. If we were to have another referendum, I think it would be very, very detrimental to society.
Brendan?
I don't think it's ever bad to trust democracy. I thought that's what democracy was actually was
all
about.
Then we would go by what the people said. The people have spoken. We had a referendum. That was it.
But people didn't know, Nelson. We're rehearsing old ground here. People were asked in June 2016 a binary question, ill-informed. In fact, it's been proven now that people were lied to and they're up to the campaign. The Times publishes an opinion poll today which shows that 11% of people who voted to leave now think that the country made the incorrect decision. 49% now think...
But you get Nelson's point, though, Brendan. Well. Then what do? Do you keep on having referendums until you get the result that you want?
No, but what you do is inform people, here is what you're actually voting for. Not yes, no, remain, stay. What is the deal? What does the deal look like? What are the long-term implications of the deal? And then take an informed decision. Let people take an informed decision.
Is that not fair enough, Nelson?
Can we trust people to make an informed, educated decision?
Nelson, is that not a fair enough point from Brendan there? Maybe people weren't completely aware of what they were voting for, and now they would have more idea of the implications of Brexit.
There will always be a range of opinions as to whether people were told, whether people knew what they were voting for. I look back 40 years to the first referendum on Europe, and people didn't know then, or weren't told then, that Europe was going to develop in the way that they did. They were voting then on common trade. Sounded reasonable. I opposed it, but many people voted for it. The majority in the UK did. We were not told then that this was going down the road towards a United States of Europe, towards international super state, with Macron and Angela Merkel talking about a European army. All of this increasing harmonisation, integration, centralisation in Brussels. It's not the sort of thing that was talked about 40 years ago. You will end up with the same dispute again. Were people told or were they not told? And if you lose, you'll turn around and say, well, the people weren't told the truth.
Brendan?
I'm convinced that it would be detrimental.
It's this merry-go-round, Brendan, that we are on, but do you think Nelson has a point there?
Nelson and I aren't actually very far away from each other here, because we did have a referendum 40 years ago. People voted to change. Nelson's point is that the situation has changed in the meantime. People made an up-to-date decision in June 2016. Can anyone argue that this pace of change, the nature and the evolving nature of the negotiations which have led to the deal which is now on the table, is so significant that it can't justify going back to the people again? And I don't call it a people's vote, call it if you want. It's a referendum, I'm saying. People deserve to have an informed, educated choice to be made or to be offered to them in the shape of a referendum. would be afraid? Why be afraid of that? Is it a fear of the result going against the way you want it to be?
And if the result was the same as last time, would you be content then, or would you still, given what you want another further referendum?
If people were asked to vote on either Theresa May's deed, or if there was something more solid and more fully informed put on the table, and people voted for it, I would have to go along with that.
Okay,
with that. I
would
vote against.
Okay, let's go to the phones.
If I could just say there on this point to Brendan. What would be the options in a referendum? Because we hear from different people, different suggestions. And one of the things that I don't hear being on it is simply coming out of the EU and renegotiating the process to get a decent deal. Without that failure, that abject failure...
Is that what we call a no-deal Brexit? A no-deal exit?
Well, look, if you're going back to negotiate, you don't know what the outcome's going to be. Don't predetermine that, please.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Ronnie and Macrofeld. Ronnie, go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, what my point is that I was trying to make was, if we do have a second referendum and the people come back with the majority vote again, saying that, we want to leave, what's plan B then? What have we got in place that's going to, be different from this time around?
Would you want a further referendum?
No, because the people have already spoken.
Now, do you feel like you knew enough about what would happen or what could potentially be, you were happy enough?
And I think this is where the politicians are making the big mistake, where they think that we didn't understand what we voted for. We're not stupid. The people at large is not stupid. They're well aware of what we voted for.
I know, but I don't think some people are suggesting is that people were stupid. It's that the information wasn't there because people didn't know. Until the wheels were in motion and we are where we are now.
To this day, the politicians still don't know. So therefore, the informed decision that we all had at that time was enough for us to make
okay.
it. Believe that we were doing the right thing.
Many will agree with you, Ronnie. Edward and Lauren, go ahead. Edward, what do you think?
Hey, I voted to leave in this referendum, and I would vote leave again, simply because they say we don't understand. Well, I understand some things that the EU, the first thing, sir, is a dictatorship. As regards to, we have 90% of our laws over here from Europe. And then again, and also the money we pay to them, and I think people want their own country back, and they want to stop paying the EU money.
What about the money that comes from the EU? Say farmers,
apparently for every £1.50 that we pay, we only get a pound back, according to statistics. So
okay.
we're not getting as much back as we're paying in.
Edward, thank you. John in North Belfast. John, go ahead.
What we seen yesterday in Parliament was this. The Labour Party, despite having it in their manifesto regarding Brexit, despite voting for Article 50, were angling to bring the government down in a no-confidence vote for a general election. You had the SNP yesterday in the House of Commons stating time and time and time again they want another referendum in Scotland. There is two major blocs within Parliament trying to usurp the will of the British people to their own party political views.
Okay.
And it's an absolute disgrace.
John, thank you. Gareth, good morning to you. Go ahead.
Good morning, Vinny.
Happy this morning for a Wednesday morning.
Well, not too bad, thank you. we're almost into the second half of the week now.
True. What do you think?
Well, just two wee points. First thing is, if people like Nelson McCausland and the hard Brexiteers over in England take things too far, then we're actually going to end up going the other way, and we're going to need more north-south cooperation in Ireland, and we're going to need more help from the EU to try and keep everything operating. And then the second point really to do with the referendum is this determination that the UK can unilaterally rejoin the EU changes the ball game altogether whenever it comes to a referendum.
That was only advice, though, Gareth, let's remember.
Pardon?
That was advice at this stage.
Well, yes, but if that is actually feasible for that to happen, then that changes the ball game when it comes to the referendum. That means then that we may have to have a three-option referendum, a vote for whether to support any agreement or not support the agreement, and an option on whether to rejoin the EU. It's only fair.
Okay.
The principle is the same, whether it's Parliament or whether it's the people. We need to know all the information, we need to know all the facts, and we need to be able to make an informed decision.
Okay, Gareth, thank you very much. Nelson McCausland and Brendan Mulgrew, thank you as well.